On the Run Home, US Sport with Steve Salisbury for Smeg Appliances, technology with style.
Steve Salisbury on the phone. He's been at SEN for 6 hours today, yet we've got him on the phone. G'day, Stevie boy.
Well, as I got hungry, I had to bolt. You know how that goes. Hey, it's divisional playoff weekend, which is very good. And I listen, I've known you got both of you guys for probably a decade. Mm. And I like to think of myself as being pretty sharp, right? I mean,
no, I think you're
I don't fall for stupid things. Like, I get it, you know?
Not often.
Like, there's a few hard and fast rules that we know, and Mark, you and I have talked about this. Number one, stay off cocaine, right? We don't do cocaine.
No one That's should do that.
Number two,
thing.
You don't drink and drive. Number three, you do not bet against the Patriots. However, this past week, I looked at the Patriots, and I said, wow, they lost 4 of 6. Brady was hurt. Gronkowski was hurt. The offensive line was in tatters.
Right.
Chandler Jones was their defensive end. Apparently, he was out on the weekend and got busted for marijuana.
Sounds like you bet against them.
Well, so and then I looked at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs had won 11 straight. Offensively, they were in sync. Defensively, they were kicking ass. Their special teams was blowing people away, and I thought, you know what? These guys are going to do it. You know what?
Yeah.
Nah. Do not bet against the Patriots. Brady was hardly touched, right? He's supposed to be injured. The offensive line was supposed to be in trouble. Gronkowski was supposed to be hurt. Gronkowski had 2 touchdowns. The Patriots did what they do. They won the game 27-20. They do not screw around, and I will repeat, and if I ever say anything to anybody, if you're ever going to believe anything I ever say, believe me when I say this, don't bet against the Patriots.
I'll be doing it next week. Don't you worry about that, Steve Salisbury.
Don't. Yes, you will. And so then the second game yesterday, oh, my God, I don't know if you guys saw this. Green Bay is going to Arizona. I believe that Arizona was going to win the whole thing because I thought they had the most balanced team. They had the best offense. I thought they had a great defense. Yet the Packers went in there, and with very little time on the clock, for the second time this year, Aaron Rodgers steps back and just unleashes a bomb that is somehow caught in the end zone by one of his players, pushing this game into overtime. Luckily, though, for the Cardinals, Carson Palmer came good on the first play of the drive, avoiding a rush, made an off-balance pass to Larry Fitzgerald, who took it 75 yards. I think it was 75 yards anyway, and to set up the score in overtime, and so Arizona won. Although I watched this game, and I was talking, and I was telling people, you know, I talk to people in different parts of the country, and they go, well, who should we bet on? And I go, I like the Cardinals. But you know what? I watched that game, and it was similar to growing up with a guy that you think he's got your back, and then you get into a bit of a squabble as a 19-year-old out in the alley outside of the bar, and you turn around because you think he's got your back, and he's long gone. Carson Palmer.
Disappointing.
I don't know that we can count on Carson Palmer, guys. I'm not sure we can, so I don't know to say about next week. Today we had 2 games. We had Carolina-Seattle. 15-1 Carolina goes into that game. It started at 5 a.m. I don't know if either of you two guys were up for that. But
wasn't it?
I think Carolina scored on their first possession. Carolina also scored on Seattle's first possession. So Carolina got off to a very fast start. I think they scored on their first 4 possessions. They scored on Seattle's first possession. They had a 31-0 lead at halftime.
That's normally pretty emphatic.
It is, but when you play against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, they have the ability to come back, and come back they did. Not quite far enough, though. They lost 31-24. So it sets up Seattle's out, but it sets up an Arizona at Carolina NFC Championship game next week, which we could talk about on Friday when I'm in. And then the last game of the day, Harf.
My boys.
The Denver Broncos. You know what? You look at Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning has got to be pushing 50 years old, right? He doesn't look very good. His arm is not nearly what it was. I honestly believe that 5 years ago when I was in my early 40s, I could probably throw the ball as far as – because I got a great arm. I could probably throw the ball as far as Peyton Manning can now. He's got a noodle for an arm. It's horrible.
A noodle arm?
Noodle.
He's not
got a little noodle there.
He's not the same player that he was.
Linguini arms.
What's that?
He's got a linguini arm.
No, you guys have seen my arms.
You've got cannons. Yeah, You've been working on them. You've been refining them in the tin room.
There's a lot of curls for the girls.
Tin room.
For the ladies. We all do it for the ladies. But anyway, Peyton Manning is not the same player. But you know what he did? He found a way. He got some help from his defense today as his field goal kicker kicked 4 field goals. And he took advantage of a late Pittsburgh fumble, drove his team the rest of the way into the end zone. They scored a touchdown. They held on for a 23-16 win. And what we have next Monday, New England, Denver. I will repeat, do not bet against New England Hearts, okay? Don't do it.
Are they getting anyone back? What's happening? Are they going to look stronger next week? Well, you're telling me they're ripe for the pickings. Are they going to look any better next week?
Are we talking about who? New England?
New England, yeah.
Oh, New England's fine. I don't worry about New England at all. I think they were playing a game of gopher. Is that old hunting game? Is it gopher? I don't hunt. I know I come from a place of guns.
I've heard of possum, but not gopher.
That's it. He's playing possum.
I've heard of duck, duck, goose.
He was playing gopher.
Belichick was playing possum, and he had everybody believing that his team was in some type of disarray. But now they'll be fine. So we can talk about who we bet. We'll get together Friday night in studio. I'll come to the studio to meet you guys, and we will talk about the games on the weekend. It's going to be a great week, and we're into the Final Four, and I know the Australian Open is going, but trust me, there's a lot more drama. There's no match fixing going on in the NFL that we know of.
It's not a cheap shot.
Listen at 7 o'clock. I'm sure that that BP is going to talk about it. But, it's going to be a great football weekend. And then the other bit of news, because I haven't seen either of you guys in quite a while, is that you guys took off for the break, some of us worked through the break. I don't know if you guys knew that.
No, I was listening. You've done a great job.
Very hard through the break. We had 3 teams apply for relocation in the NFL to go to L.A. Right? We had the Oakland Raiders, we had the St. Louis Rams, and we had the San Diego Chargers.
So what's going to happen?
Well, the Los Angeles Rams are a reality. They will be playing in L.A. in 2016, which I like because I grew up a 49er fan, and the big rivalry that we had was with the LA Rams. So that's nice. That's coming back. And it comes down to money in the league, boys. If you have the money and Stan Kroenke does, and you can put the most compelling case actually in front of the other ownership groups, they're gonna side with you, and that's what happened. Interestingly, we always make fun of the Raiders. We say they're a bit they're just not the smartest team going. They did not even submit a proposal. They simply went to this meeting and said, hey, let us go to L.A. And the owner said, you got to be kidding me. We're not going to let you go to L.A. The Raiders are actually being courted, though, by the city of San Antonio to go down to Texas. So it's going to be very interesting to watch that.
San Antonio? It's not bad.
Yeah, well, San Antonio's nice.
Have you guys been to San Antonio?
Yeah, I have. Have they got enough people there for an NFL team?
Well, that's right, Marco. You lived in Texas. How far is Austin from San Antonio? They're pretty close, aren't they?
Two hours, 3 hours, I don't know.
Are they that far apart? Yeah. All right, well, they're saying that region is ripe for an NFL team because that region, they support UT football quite well, as you know. They support the San Antonio Spurs. They support South by Southwest, which is a great music festival every year. So they do a lot of good things in Austin and in San Antonio, and they're saying that, Oakland Raiders, I know you got a really screwed up situation in Oakland. Come to San Antonio and we'll sort you out.
I need the situation to be sorted out at San Francisco. Your boys there at Candlestick Park, whatever it's called these days. Now, Chip Kelly got sacked by the Philadelphia Eagles. And then all of a sudden, he's the coaching the San Francisco 49ers. The Eagles trash. Is it the Niners treasure?
It is indeed. You know why? Here's an interesting thing. Either of you two ever been dumped by a girl in your lives?
Yeah, might have got a couple of those through.
Every girlfriend relationship I've had, I got dumped. Every single one, Stevie.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm like 50-50. But don't you always
He's keeping a record.
Well, I think back on it, I'm probably 50-50. But don't you guys think, though, that once this girl dumps you, you think, you know what? I'll show her.
That's exactly what Chip
has done. Chip has found somebody who does find him sexy. I'm sorry, he's not sexy. But they found somebody who they think can actually help them win games. And trust me, guys, he can. He is an offensive wizard. And I said this the other day with Tony Shebeki. Yeah. He looks at possibilities, Chip Kelly does. So offensively, if you're following the Niners next year, you are going to be fired up because there's going to be a lot of points scored. There's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, people ask me about what's this mean for Jarryd Hayne. I think this means good things for Jarryd Hayne because, again, Chip looks at possibilities. How can I use Chip how can I use Jarrod Hayne differently from the previous administration? And it's going to be very fun to watch, and it signals to me and to most right-minded thinking people that this shows that the 49ers realized they screwed up royally last year when they fired Harbaugh, and they're trying to make amends. So hopefully everything works out. But whether it works out or not, if you're a 49er fan, you should feel good, because now it shows that the team is not nearly as stupid as we all thought they were this time last year.
Stevie, just off the SMS, I've got a statement for you from Dave in Hoppers Crossing. The NFL overtime rule sucks. That's right, it sucks. Both teams should get a crack at the ball, especially after how the game went in overtime. Yes or no?
No, I totally agree. But do you know that the present league rules right now, so essentially what it is if they flip the coin, the team that wins gets possession. If they kick a field goal, the other team gets the ball. If they do not score at all, the other team gets the ball. But if they score a touchdown, as Arizona did yesterday, the game is over. So what it used to be is the first team to score, regardless of whether it was a safety, a field goal, or a touchdown, would win. I do think that each team should get one possession, regardless of whether the first team scores or not. It's unfair, but it's the way that the rules are. And it used to be sudden death, which I really liked. And then college created their system where teams get a chance. So we have the ball, we score a touchdown. If you score a touchdown, when you get the ball, we go to an extra overtime. If you don't, I win the game. So it should be changed. David from Hoppers Crossing is spot on with his assessment.
I quite like the alteration, I've got to say. Because you've got to score a touchdown. You've got to go 80 yards to get the job done in one series. So, I mean, if you can do that in OT, you've done a great job.
You have, but you're sitting there on the sideline, Harf. And Marco is just—he's just blitzing your defense. I mean, he's absolutely making you guys old and weak.
Not my defense.
And he runs down and he scores a touchdown. As a competitive guy,
I say good luck to him.
Don't you want to get an opportunity?
No, if he can beat me and get in the end zone, Steve, in one series in OT and the pressure of OT, I say good luck to you. If you kick a field goal, give me a chance. But if you can get into the end zone and score that touchdown, I say, well, we got beaten in the pressure.
Well, okay, I see that point of view, but I do think that in the next 3 to 4 years, it's going to change because, the Packer fans would be livid today, just thinking, what a stupid rule, we stand.
They're throwing Hail Marys to survive. It's not as if there's any system to the Hail Mary stuff.
You are right about that.
Stevie, you're a gun, man. You're a gun, and you do a great job for us. We appreciate it.
So I'll see you guys on Friday.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to it, mate.
Wait a second. Is it? Do we still have beer o'clock on Saturday or Friday when I'm there?
Well, there'll be beer.
We'll find out later.
There's always beer.
You know, I tried a cider on the weekend.
How's the cider?
Five seed cider. Oh, it's so refreshing.
All right.
So refreshing.
You could be our man, Steve. You could be our man. Thanks, buddy.
Talk about it Friday.
Talk to you Friday. Steve Salisbury there.